This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 4 May 2018. First up from Bloomberg, U.S. lifts debt sales as deficit grows, plans 2-month bills. The country's debt load is seen spiraling compared with the rest of the world, with forecasts showing that in 5 years, it will have a bleaker outlook than even Italy, the perennial poor man in the group of seven industrialized nations. The U.S. Treasury Department is boosting the amount of long-term debt it sells each quarter. You think about the second half of the year, the Treasury has a ton of debt to get out there and pretty quickly needs it to ramp up issuance sizes even more than today. Its maturities of 5 years and greater, Mark Schoenmaker, head of rate strategies at Wells Fargo, told Bloomberg. In a surprise to some dealers, Treasury again left inflation-linked securities unchanged. It's investigating adding another 5-year sale to its regular calendar. The department will notch higher sales of 2- and 3-year note auctions by $1 billion per month over the quarter, compared with monthly rises over the past quarter of $2 billion. It will also boost 5, 7, 10, and 30-year note sales by $1 billion starting in May and lift floating rate notes by $1 billion in May. The changes will result in an additional $27 billion of new issuance. As all of us have said in this genre, you cannot solve a debt problem with more debt. But here we go. Again from Bloomberg, this is jumping mortgage rates further tighten debt vise for Canadians. The country's biggest banks began raising key borrowing rates last week, just as the busy signal for residential real estate gets underway. In addition, the mortgage market looks set for a particularly heavy year of renewals in an environment where debt servicing costs are already rising at the fastest pace in a decade. The article concludes, you have some capacity in the economy to absorb this. But the fact that rates are going up isn't positive for consumers because it's making credit more expensive. Speaking of bank blunders, this is from Reuters, May 2nd. Australia's Commonwealth Bank says it lost the records of nearly 20 million accounts. This is an extraordinary blunder, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull told reporters. It's hard to imagine how so much data could be lost in this way. If that happened today, the bank would have to advise their customers, Turnbull added. This is so overwhelming. I really don't have a comment. I mean, we're just going to wait and see what happens here. This is absolute fiscal irresponsibility, and they weren't even willing to admit it. Moving on, how you try to target something to do with energy or retail. And this is on Zero Hedge, Ford targeting massive $25.5 billion cuts, confirming end of major automotive cycle. The rising cost of commodities, combined with the end of a bubble in the automotive sector, are taking tolls on automobile companies and forcing drastic restructuring at major U.S. automakers like Ford. Ford announced that it's hacking off a large portion of its business, a move that'll make the company 90% reliant on its pickup trucks, SUVs, and commercial vehicles by the year 2020. It's kind of old news. I know it's been reported a lot, but it's very significant. Ford's making a decision ahead of the big three. But the big two these days, I guess you could say, are that basically passenger cars is something that they're going to move away from, and they're going to focus mostly on commercial vehicles and trucks. We'll see what happens. Moving on to the war front, and not a surprise here, this is from military.com. Mattis says U.S. troops will remain in Syria, Afghanistan for the long haul. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said Monday that U.S. troops are in Syria and Afghanistan for the long haul to leverage a diplomatic solution to the ongoing conflicts in both countries. At an off-camera session with Pentagon reporters, Mattis strongly suggested that President Donald Trump had put aside his initial impulse for quick withdrawals and would maintain an indefinite presence of U.S. ground troops in Syria and Afghanistan. What can I say? Surprise, surprise. This is one that I've pretty much harped on and off. This is again from Reuters. Cyber warfare, Populism top black swan events at the Milken Conference. From Reuters, Beverly Hills, cyber warfare and populism are some of the top risks that could threaten global stability and financial markets in the years ahead. Investors and policymakers warned at the annual Milken Institute Global Conference this week as they characterized them as black swan events. Thomas Barrack said cybersecurity was his greatest concern because, quote, if the system itself is hacked or breaks or causes trauma, I'm not sure what happens, end quote. Continuing, while government and business leaders worldwide have become more aware of cybersecurity risks, the threat is still underappreciated, most of the speakers said. Quote, the cyber warfare in this world is completely unknown, uncontemplated, and has to be grasped as we think about where we are going, Mary Callahan, chief executive officer of JP Morgan Asset Management, said during a conference. Again, I just want to harp on it. Cybersecurity is really, really big, and it bores throughout, obviously, the entire financial system, including cryptocurrencies, any asset class that's held electronically. And again, it's in my studied view, it is not well appreciated. Moving over to oilprice.com. This headline, catastrophic cyber attacks threaten big oil. There are over a million oil and gas wells in the United States. There are also several hundred thousand miles of pipelines. Digitization is on the rise in the notoriously conservative oil and gas industry as companies wake up to the cost and operational efficiency boost that sensors and algorithms can offer them. Meantime, cyber criminals are keeping ahead of the learning curve, but oil and gas is largely pretending not to notice them. Energy companies, including E&Ps, pipeline operators, and utilities, spend less than 0.2% of their revenues on cybersecurity, two security consulting firms have calculated. This compares with three times this portion of revenues spent on cybersecurity by financial services, and we know how well they're doing. Very interesting. Contemplate what I just stated. Before I move on to the precious metals, I again want to come back to Charles Hugh Smith, who I align with quite a bit on most of his thinking. This article titled, What Lies Beyond Capitalism and Socialism? And beginning of the article, as longtime readers know, my work aims to explain why the status quo is unsustainable and doomed to collapse under its own weight. Secondly, sketch out an alternative mode of production, way of living that's sustainable, consumes far less resources while providing for the needs of the human populace, not just for our material daily bread, but for positive social roles, purpose, hope, meaning, and opportunity, needs that are, by and large, ignored or marginalized in the current system. And he goes on to say that most people are stuck in the paradigm that there's really only two options, capitalism or socialism. The article goes on to provide some rather pertinent thought on what really can take place. And he asks the question, which I've asked over and over myself, which is both those modalities could be, in other words, big governments, depending on either side, really are more of the problem than the solution. They're creating most of the problems. And both the metals, gold and silver, continue to be range-bound here. The Silver Institute put out their April edition. I won't read the whole thing. You can find it online. But the cover page talks about silver's industrial demand rebounded in 2017. Mine supply recorded second consecutive loss. This is according to the latest and just published World Silver Survey 2018. Industrial demand for silver, fueled by record photovoltaic growth, rose in 2017 for the first time since 2013. A stronger global economy led to healthy demand from the semiconductor market, resulting in greater silver offtake in electrical and electronics applications, as well as brazing alloys and solders. The jewelry and silverware sectors also experienced noteworthy gains in 2017, according to the World Silver Survey 2018, released by the Silver Institute and produced on its behalf by GFMS at Thomson Reuters. On the supply side, global mine supply fell for the second consecutive year, following an uninterrupted streak of 13 annual increases prior to 2016. Silver scrap supply, which has retreated since 2012, again registered a loss. These factors led to a tightening of the supply-demand balance, contributing to a physical deficit of 26 million ounces in 2017 and the fifth consecutive annual deficit. I'll leave it at that this week. Remember, there is nothing more powerful than the truth, and I will be back with you next week.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.